Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek.
I am George Tripsis.
And from afar, this is Brutal Dave.
Just to let everyone know, we're recording Dave via Skype.
That's right. We are. We've run into lots of technical difficulties this evening. It's not been an easy show to record, but we're here. And we have a lot of interesting things to talk about tonight.
We do.
I have some opinions I would like to give.
That's a first.
No, not really.
What do you have opinions about?
So, what have you been up to, guys?
What was that?
No,
Dave?
Nothing. Let's talk about what we've been up to.
Let's go around. What have you been up to, Dave? What have you been doing the past couple weeks since we've recorded?
Probably nothing that sounds all that exciting. I've been continuing to play Skyrim, which we talked about before. That's been really all I've been playing. I haven't really been watching much, I don't guess, other than I watch Steven Universe when it comes out every week with my kids, and other than that, I guess it's October now, and so we have started the month-long horror movie marathon we started last night.
Are you doing that one movie a day?
It'll change.
Are you?
It'll be different. Probably sometimes we'll do one, sometimes we'll do a few, I'm not sure. It's just, It's not really like a set thing. It's just, you know, watch a bunch of horror movies. So,
What have you seen
so
far?
Well, we started last night. We've only done one so far. We watched House of the Devil last night, which we have seen before, but it was a good one to kick off with.
That sounds familiar. Who did
Ty
that?
Ty West.
Okay. I've heard about it. I don't think I've ever seen
it, though.
It's really...
He's been getting really popular recently, hasn't he?
I think he's a great filmmaker.
Recently.
Well, he's done a lot of recent movies that have been getting a lot of traction a little bit.
I think he's a good filmmaker, though. What I like about this one and the Innkeepers was another one of his that was very much the same way. Mm. And
I really like that movie.
What I like about the way he does it is... They're so slow to start, and then they get completely crazy at the end. But he does that. He handles the slow part really well, and you realize you're working through this whole thing that while it may not seem like much is happening, he's really laying the pieces out for you, though. He really is telling the story effectively, developing the characters, giving you the hints that you need, and so that when everything goes crazy, it makes sense.
That's what's missing from a lot of modern horror movies, is character development
and story development. And
you want to care about the people
mood,
when they die.
And the mood of the thing is important as well.
He didn't care about any of the characters in Friday the 13th.
No.
That's a fair point.
All you really cared about, Jason was killing some mofos, and it was the mom.
Whoa, spoiler.
how long ago that movie came out?
I know. I mean, just like Psycho, right? Same premise.
Sure.
In a way.
No. Not really.
But in reverse, because in Psycho, it really was him dressed up as his mom.
Yeah, his mom was dead.
Oh, spoiler, sorry. I didn't mean to give that one away, too.
Yeah,
it's only been 60 years later.
As far as horror movies for me, I started out a little slow. We watched Evil Dead 2, and then we watched Spaced Invaders. It's an old gem from the 80s.
Spaced Invaders?
Yeah.
There's a little like gremlin-type creatures?
Little Martian men.
Oh, yeah.
That crash land in like Arkansas.
You know what? I have never watched that movie, but... Wasn't there a commercial for it on the VHS of like the Ninja Turtles movie or something like that. I feel like there was prior to it. And so based on that, like as a kid, I felt like I always wanted to watch that movie, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's pure nostalgia holding that movie together. And then
like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes for me.
Yeah. And then we finished yesterday with Slither.
Slither's a good one.
Yeah.
That was his first foray into greatness, I guess.
His first big stepping out.
Yeah.
Into like big cinematic. Yeah. I can make movies.
That's what got him Guardians of the Galaxy, probably.
No. Other stuff, probably.
What was the PG porn? What was the premise of that one?
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
A Slither? It was slugs from outer space. They come and it's like zombies meets Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Okay. Meets
I'm
gore.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that.
Gore.
Is Nathan Fillion in that?
Didn't it have the chick from The Office?
Who?
Nathan Fillion?
Nathan Fillion is in that.
And the chick from The Office, wasn't it? Wasn't because they're married at one point, I think.
I don't watch Office. Sorry. Okay. I'm the lame one.
So have you seen any movies in the theater recently?
Not in the theaters, no.
I have not either. I've been,
there's
been
really
busy.
Nothing in the movie theaters.
It's
that, I really
that time.
See.
Yeah, nothing. You see everything though.
Yeah, I want to see the Masterminds movie.
See, I never heard of that. Oh, okay. Galifianakis? Yeah, I have seen. I've seen the commercials.
That's good.
I'll see that when it comes out on Netflix.
It looks like a Netflix.
Yeah.
I wanted to see The Magnificent Seven, but poor reviews.
You haven't seen that?
Poor reviews turned me away.
Oh, really? Did it get poor reviews? Surprise, I didn't know that.
Everyone says it's like it's a middle-of-the-road Western. It doesn't really try to do anything new with the genre.
Okay.
Or anything cool like that. You know, like Quentin Tarantino did with Hateful Eight.
Mm-hmm. You been playing any games or anything like that?
The game you let me borrow.
What's that?
The Lego Avengers.
Yeah? What's your opinion?
It's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah, it's just okay. Not the best Lego game.
No.
Not the worst either.
That's true. I'm still playing through The Force Awakens. I've beat all the main story stuff. I'm just trying to, like, 100% it now, because...
You're a 100%er guy.
On Lego games, I am. I'm like, I get in this OCD mode about these games for some reason. Lego Dimensions, a little bit different because there's so much to it. But I haven't got any of the new Season 2 stuff that just came out. I've heard that a lot of people that have updated to Season 2, whatever it's called, have been having problems with, like, losing all their studs they bought or they found in the game and, like, their save games being corrupted. I'm like, yeah, that's not cool. Wait for them to.
I don't play those games anymore.
Or any less either.
Well, the whole minifig game, Disney Infinity thing.
But there's some cool ones coming out for the Lego Dimensions year two. I mean, you got Gremlins and E.T. and Goonies. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I want the Lego set. I don't want to play the game.
Isn't Lego Dimensions shutting down?
No, that's only Disney
Infinity is shutting down. Okay. I knew it was one of those.
Lego Dimensions is going strong.
I knew it was one or the other, and I couldn't remember which way it went.
There's a shitload of new Lego Dimensions. I think this first round, it was like a Harry Potter set, and there was B.A. Baracus from the A-Team for some reason. There was a Mission Impossible level pack.
That's cool.
And there's what's the other Adventure Time,
which is ending soon.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that.
Yeah,
there's a level pack and a character pack, and there's also something that they call a story pack now. So it's longer than a regular level pack. So of course it costs more, but it comes with a piece that actually takes over what your dimension base is like. And I know this is the one you're looking forward to. It's based on the 2016 Ghostbusters movie.
Ooh.
Hold back your excitement, man. I can see you're like, I got to play that.
Didn't that come out on DVD recently?
Soon, I think. You going to watch it?
No, probably not. I'll wait for it on TV.
Well, we'll make you watch it.
That's fine, as long as I don't pay for it.
All right. Hey, you heard it. We'll make him watch it.
I'll watch it and trash it at the same time.
We should record that as an episode then.
Sure.
George hates Ghostbusters 2016.
As long as it's not this Echo crap.
Yeah. I finally beat Uncharted 4.
Wow. Welcome to the club.
Finally. Did you beat it?
Oh, a long time ago.
But did you finish the game?
Yeah.
But you beat it?
Yes.
And you finished the game?
Yes.
It's a bad joke.
I do both.
All right. Honest answer. Appreciate that. No, I mean, I finally...
I've made many talents.
It's a phenomenal game. Here's my main problem with it. You probably agree with me. It's one of the best cinematic stories I've ever played in a game, but it feels very... Okay, here's the part where you climb. Here's the part where you shoot. Here's the part where you climb. Here's the part where you shoot again.
Every Uncharted game is like that.
I didn't notice it as bad until this game. But
know.
The game is... Don't get me wrong. The game is phenomenal. It's a great game. But I just, you know, the Tomb Raider games, it feels a little bit more open-ended in a way. You know what I mean? This felt very corridor-like. So you have, there's only one way to get past every, I don't know.
I didn't really feel that way. Like, there's more than one way to play each level.
Yeah.
Unless you're going through the cinematic stuff.
Right. But I mean, the cinematic part of it was great. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that game. And two of the best voice actors are involved in that game. Nolan North and Troy Baker, so.
And it's done. They closed off the books for Uncharted.
Is it really done?
Yeah.
Well, they introduced that other character at the end, so they might continue with a different character.
His daughter?
Don't spoil it.
Fuck, how long has that game been out already?
You know my favorite part about that game is playing Crash Bandicoot.
I died so many times playing that.
You don't remember how hard and difficult that game was until you go back and play it. Now you're like, what the fuck? Like,
fuck this game.
It's a perfect recreation of that game, though.
Well, they are, like, bringing it back, aren't they?
Supposedly. There's been rumors. They haven't really officially announced a new game or anything. They should. They can make a really cool new Crash Bandicoot game. That would look great.
I think they're just going to do, a remastered version.
Really?
That's what I heard.
They need to do... Well, that'd be cool, too. I mean, I would play them again, but they need to do a brand new one.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Did you ever play them? Besides in Uncharted 4?
Yeah, I played the original Crash Bandicoot game.
Okay.
And it was Sony's doing the racing stuff, I stopped.
It was Sony's attempt to make, a Mario or a Sonic or something?
Yeah, it was their Sonic
Mario. And with the racing game, it was, blatantly that...
Mario Kart, Crash Kart, that's all they needed to call it. Was it Crash Bandicoot Team Racing
yes,
or whatever
that's
it was?
Correct.
CTR?
Yeah, I got it in there was a bundle pack of Crash Bandicoot games, and that was one of the ones that was in it. And that's how I ended up playing that one. And it was so much like Mario Kart that it's amazing yep. they didn't get sued over it or something. I don't know.
Do you know my favorite Mario Kart clone What's game that? Ever was?
Mario Kart.
Walt Disney World Magical Racing.
Never heard of it.
Did you? You never played? Oh my god, dude. It was on Sega Dreamcast as well as PS1. It was a fucking amazing game. All the levels are based on theme park attractions. So there's a Space Mountain level, there was a Pirates level, there was a Haunted Mansion level. It was great.
Was the 90s. Was the gameplay any good?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't as good as a Mario Kart. It was probably Crash Team Racing quality, but
Sonic All-Stars was cool.
Those were really good. The Sonic All-Star games were really good. Not that quality either.
No.
But it's a great game. I mean, it's worth plugging the PS1 in to play it again, you know what I mean? Maybe I'll do that. Actually, I have a Dreamcast to be easier. It's actually hooked up right now. Next time you come over, Dave, when we're not mobile Skyping, we will play some magical Walt Disney World racing game.
You just need to get a cabinet and get all your systems on one.
I would love that too.
I don't have a feasible way to do that right now, but...
One of the podcasts that I listen to is a show called CADcast. One of the guys on there, he goes by the name Shipwreck. And he's a huge old school game collector, and he's been talking about how
Does
it
he
is.
Find him in shipwrecks.
He might find him in shipwrecks, just like Nathan Drake. But he talks about he's just built this. He lives in Ohio, so they have what they call. I've never actually been to one. No, well, besides the nothingness, they have what they call basements.
What's a basement?
I don't know. I guess it's a room underneath the house.
I've heard of this before.
Wouldn't do so well here.
It's a bad idea here.
No, I think we have this flooding thing.
If you, which is weird, I'm going to side tangent for a second. When you're driven by my house, there's like this, the next block over, there's like this huge 8,000 square foot house that just sits there like on three pieces of property. You ever seen it?
Here?
Yeah, in my neighborhood.
No.
About,
I never paid attention.
Next time you drive by on the next major street, you'll see it. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, it was actually up on the market. And there was an open house one day. I'm like, I've got to go check this house out. It had
a basement.
There was a huge ass basement. But the problem with that house, it was right after we had that big flood. The whole basement area had been flooded out, and it was all molded and shit. Nobody would buy that house for a long time. Somebody eventually bought it, fixed it up.
Probably why it went on the market.
Yeah, well, it was like really cheap too, and they fixed it up and like they're renting it now. There's like every time I drive by that house, there's like 15 people that come out of that house. It's weird.
Well, you got a basement.
That's true. There's plenty of room for people in that house too. It's weird. I remember one of the bedrooms upstairs, like the master bedroom. You crawled in this like a alcove or something. And there was like, it was all carpeted, and there was like a hot tub up there. It was the weirdest fucking thing. It was pink too, yeah. Very, very 80s. Like okay. Berber carpet, like real thin Berber carpet.
Right on.
I don't even know where I was going before I went on that tangent about that house.
We were talking about basement.
Oh, the basement, yeah. He said he has like every single game system ever created, all hooked up to like these like couple TVs, and he has like SCART systems and all that kind of stuff. So everything's like, he's bought all these like special adapters, so a lot of the shit's like HDMI now and all this kind of stuff. I'm sure he spent a lot of money on it.
Okay, I'm
so
on
Dave,
top
I need
of
you
it.
To get on
so
that.
So that's why that. All right. That's why I have. That's why I have
build a basement first.
Five, so I don't have to have all of the actual machines plugged in.
That's true. That is very true. I need to get one of those still. I heard they're coming out with a new version of it, though, right?
Retron 6.
Or 7.
Or 8.
I'll wait till the 10.
Wait till the X.
They probably will call the Retron
just
X.
Just be cool.
So, have you seen any
yes.
Have you seen any concerts recently?
No.
I have, too.
Really?
You know,
really?
I've heard that a lot of people
never
in Houston
guessed.
Didn't see concerts recently.
Or they might have seen a portion of a concert.
Yeah, you got to see Alter Bridge.
I heard them. I did not watch them.
Sure you didn't.
Sure. One of the dudes at work, he was at the show, and apparently he's a big Alter Bridge fan. He was wearing the tour shirt today. I'm like, really, dude? Every time I walk by, I'm like, really, dude? Alter Bridge? Alter Bridge, really? He's like,
hey, man,
shut up, I like him.
He rocks for Jesus.
He probably does. They used to be Creed.
That's right.
Now they're just crap. Well, they were crap before.
Yeah, I was like, I was always
wait
shit.
A minute.
So all right, what is it we're talking about?
For anybody that's not living in the Houston area, 2 weekends ago, there was an event called the Houston Open Air. We've talked about it on this show. I will preface and say I did have VIP tickets and media tickets as well. And the VIP tickets turned out to be crap. Didn't do anything. It basically lets you go into, once the doors are open, and we'll get there in a second, the VIP ticket lets you go into like this corralled area where there was two food trucks, and they're supposed to be specialized, and I'm using air quotes, special seating for the show. If you wanted to crowd around about 1,000 other people on the side of this, on like a fence along the side of the other where everybody else was, then there's your VIP seating. It was utter crap. That's what I gotta say about that. But, so basically that weekend in Houston, there was thunderstorms everywhere, and the event took place
I told you that was going to happen.
I know. It took place at the NRG Stadium, or the area.
The parking lot.
Parking lot area. They set up the two huge stages and a side stage and all this stuff. And apparently NRG, if they're very particular, if there's any kind of bad weather, they make everybody leave the premises.
So they don't want to get sued.
I guess. It's sad, but it is true. We got there about 12 o'clock to get our passes because apparently there was going to be a autograph session for Anthrax. So we got there early.
They didn't play, did they?
We were going to get there. So we got there. We were waiting in line for 45 minutes for the VIP will call just to get the tickets. And right when there's one person in front of me, that's when they started to close everything down. I was like, dude, I've been waiting here for 45 minutes. At least give me my passes. And she's like, well, don't tell anybody. But she looked at my name and gave me the passes. And we were able to walk away from the crowds of people that were leaving the event. So what else can you do? They're like, everybody go to your car. They're playing this, you know, message over the loudspeaker about, you know, there's bad weather coming, incoming, all this kind of stuff. And so we walked a couple blocks. We went to like a witch for about 3 hours.
I bet witch hung out there really appreciated that.
Yeah. Well, we bought food, so, and we got lots of free refills on soda.
Loiter.
We were loitering. We finally decided, hey, about 4 o'clock, let's just head back over there and see what's going on. We were watching the social media feed, and they weren't updating enough. They're like, oh, look, and we'll let you know what's going on. Like an hour and a half would go by and nothing. So we walked back over there. We waited.
Was it still raining out?
No, it never rained. It sprinkled maybe like 2 drops of rain. But there was, you know, miles away, there was some lightning, but it wasn't very close. But whatever. That's neither here or there. You know, we have no control over that. All I wanted to do was see Anthrax. All I wanted to do, right? So we get there, finally. They let people in about 4:30, 4:45, right? Huge crowd of people rush back in. They didn't even check for tickets at that point. They're like, all right, just let everybody back in. We're good. We walk over there. We're like, oh, cool. On one of the big main stages, they had all the backdrop for Anthrax set up. Everything was ready to go. We're like, all right, first band is going to be Anthrax. They're going to let them play. So we walked over to the VIP bathroom. Which was, of course, porta potties. So we.
Did you expect something else?
I guess. I don't know. So we went to the bathroom and we came back. Or let's go get our spot for Anthrax. And guess what? Their shit was pulled down. Didn't let them play.
Womp, womp, womp.
I was not a happy camper. I mean, come on. They're one of the big four of fucking heavy metal.
Was it the concert venue didn't let them play? Or did they didn't want
to? No. It was time scheduled. They were scheduled to go on at 4:30. They didn't let people in until closer to like 4:45.
Mm.
But the next band scheduled to play on this, not on the same stage, but the stage next to it was Alter Bridge. Guess who got to play?
Alter Bridge. Yeah, all right, did you rock out?
I did not rock out.
Yeah, I have to admit, I have to admit blissful ignorance on this. Who is Alter Bridge?
Alter Bridge is the ex-members of Creed.
Is it basically Creed then? Okay.
Basically.
Creed without the singer. Yeah.
Mark Tremonti is not a bad guitar
player. They did not do any... No. That's what my friend Mark that was there... He's like, I like Mark Tremonti. He has a great solo album, but he didn't even want to watch Alter Bridge, so we just hung out somewhere and waited for them to be over. We actually watched a little bit of Chevy Metal, which... In my opinion,
the hell is Chevy Metal?
This is what they should have done. Chevy Metal is a cover band. All they played was cover songs, but it's Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters, the drummer.
Mm.
So, in my opinion, they should have let Anthrax headline that third stage, and Chevy Metal could have fucked off or whatever. And they played a Rod Stewart cover. Come on, I'd rather listen to Anthrax, but. Getting off that soapbox, all right. That's enough.
Slayer played, though.
They did. So the bands that I did want to see put on a great show. So I got to see Ministry.
I bet that was really cool.
Phenomenal. And then They were great. Even like with it, even with like the sun still being out,
that doesn't seem
watching
right.
Ministry like with that shit ton of people. It was interesting. They were great too. And so after Ministry started getting a little bit dark, The Cult was next. So what they did, they had two big main stages. They let one band play on one stage while they're getting ready for the next one, and then that band would play, then the next band, and the next band. So after The Cult, I mean, seriously, like 15 seconds after they stopped playing, Slayer played. I almost said Anthrax. Slayer started playing, and people were like, what the fuck? People ran over to see Slayer, and they kicked ass, dude. I'm sorry. They were...
Slayer, did you expect any less?
I've seen them a few times, and they're sort of phoning it in. But they played about three new songs, but the rest of it was like this classic shit.
Do you feel like Gary Holt has given them a much needed jolt of enthusiasm?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I think so. My wife kept on looking at me. She's like, "Are they going to play our song? My song, and her song. Her favorite Slayer song is Dead Skin Mask." I was like, and I told her, I was like, no, they're probably not going to play that because it's a short, you know, set. That's not one of the most popular songs. And guess what? The next song was Dead Skin Mask.
It was her jam,
and she got to tell you about how you were wrong.
Her jam.
So.
She loved that part of it.
She's like, more people like it than you think.
Apparently, she did love telling me that I was wrong. Because she's like, look, they fucking played it, dumbass.
That's right.
But what else do they? I mean, they played towards the end. They played all the classic shit like South of Heaven, Raining Blood, everything you would imagine they would have to play. That they're probably bored of it by now. So, you know, they played War Ensemble. Like the second track they played was like War Ensemble. That was great. Oh, that's right. When they did play Angel of Death, they had a special backdrop. There was like this Henneman like special backdrop. It was really cool. It was like a Guinness like label, but it's a like Angel of Death on top and had Jeff's picture in it. And it said Jeff Henneman and his you know the years of his life.
Oh, I think I know the design you're talking about. Is it it's Heineken? It's modeled after a
Heineken. That's what it is. I've seen that on the t-shirt. You're right, Heineken. And yeah, that's a cool. I would actually buy that t-shirt. After Slayer played, it was Alice in Chains, and I'm a big fan of Alice in Chains. I like them, and the last time I saw them was when they opened up for Slayer in like 1990 on the Clash of the Titans tour. So, but after the intensity of seeing a Slayer show, Alice in Chains is, however great they were, not the band to follow that up with.
Pretty boring.
The mood no, not is boring. Totally it's wrong.
Not the same. Totally, exactly. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they were bad. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy their performance or they were boring or any of that.
That's what it sounds like you're saying.
It's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it. After Slayer, Alice in Chains is not the band you want to see. My wife did, but she was super happy. So, and I got to leave on Rooster because I fucking hate that song.
Do you really?
I did not come to snuff the Rooster. I you know, it's like one of those tracks. I think it's because they played it on the radio.
They still
so
do
much.
Quite a bit.
I know. I don't know, but that was my experience, and we decided
that was day one.
That was day one.
What was day two like?
Day two didn't happen.
Oh.
They opened. Okay, well, it did happen a little bit. They opened the doors. They had like one band play.
Which band?
I have no idea. It was like one of the really opening bands.
Alter Bridge reopening.
No, like lower tier bands, you know? Because I was actually looking forward to seeing Ghost as well as Baroness, but even before that, we decided not to go back to second day because it was just, like, especially what happened on Saturday. Because
it was a shit show the first day.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's a shit show. From when the show happened, it was on point. It was great. Had a blast, but
was it though?
No, it was actually.
Any show that has Alter Bridge in it,
okay,
can't be good.
I you got a point with the Alter Bridge thing. I can't deny that. But from Ministry on, I had a fucking good time. That's all
I don't
that mattered,
know who
right?
Ministry is.
Ministry is like one of the early industrial metal bands, one of the classic bands.
Classic.
Classic. I'm a big fan of them. And it's funny because, like, they had those three albums where they talk shit about, like, George Bush for, like, three albums. All they did is, like, they repurposed those songs and the video stuff and moved it to Trump now.
Nice.
With a lot of Trump bashing.
So are they Republicans?
I don't know.
Anyway.
They just hate
what is your,
stupid politics.
What was your next show?
It wasn't Sunday at the at Houston Open Air. It was Sunday turned into Houston Closed Air. They just they canceled the rest of the show, basically. They kicked everybody out and said, hey, this is it. We're done.
Hopefully everyone got refunded.
There's a refund thing going on. If you had a Sunday ticket, you got a full. If you had Saturday, you got like a half off or something like that. I need to do mine because I've actually bought Groupon tickets, and I can apparently I can get something back. I guess I don't know.
Credit to go. To
it was
show.
Cool. Maybe. I don't that, remember who all did it, but I know a couple of the bands that were supposed to play and didn't yep. get to move to other venues in Houston and either played for free or offered discounts.
What the headliner for? The headliner for Sunday was Avenged Sevenfold, and who I do not like Avenged Sevenfold, but I will give them credit because they were actually played a free show if you brought your mm-hmm. ticket stub to the Houston Open Air that night at the new venue like in the Hyatt. Yeah. I can't think of what it's called right now.
White Oak Music.
White Oak, yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. Another band that was scheduled to play Avatar, they did a free show. Avatar. That's what I was saying. They played a free show the next night at Scout Bar. So,
no one goes there.
I go to Scout Bar sometimes. The band are worth it. I like Scout Bar, actually.
I don't.
That's where I might be going Friday to see Sabaton.
I'm sorry.
Sabaton. Who have you seen at Scout Bar?
Sabaton is playing Scout Bar on Friday?
Sabaton is playing Scout Bar. Huntress is opening up and Trivium is headlining.
I care a whole lot less about that show now.
No, I'm okay with that show because that means I can
Russian
leave early.
Circles is also playing like on Friday. Yeah, at Warehouse.
Oh, are they? At the Warehouse? There's a show next week we need to go to at Warehouse on Monday, right?
What show would that be?
Little known
it's
band name. No,
yeah.
What day is it?
If it's
Thursday?
What I'm thinking of, it's
Wednesday
on a Thursday.
Thursday.
It is Thursday, yeah. Little-known mm-hmm. band called Opus and the Sword. That is Thursday. I was thinking it was Monday for some reason. But, I don't know, it's been like a couple of days since I've been to Warehouse Live. So.
Like two?
2 days, maybe? No, like three or four? Let's talk about the rest of the shows. I'm getting old, man. Three concerts in 1 week took it out of me. Especially with my bad back and shit. I was dead on Wednesday night, man. So Monday night... which was cool. This is something that Warehouse Live did because of the Houston Open Air. For Blind Guardian, who played Monday, and for the Devin Townsend Project on Wednesday, if you put in a special code, I think it was Open Air, on their website, you got half off tickets. I thought that was pretty cool.
Cool.
So who did we see Monday night?
We saw
Blind Guardian.
Gravedigger and Blind Guardian.
Oh, that's right. We did see Gravedigger. I put that out of my mind already.
Did he dig a grave?
They almost need to. What's your opinion on Gravedigger?
Listened to Gravedigger before their set on Monday. So I went into it. I mean, I knew kind of what I was getting into, kind of classic German traditional heavy metal stuff. And it was exactly that. And
didn't they have a song like
they apparently
heavy metal Blitzkrieg or something like that?
Are well known for their. This is a term I didn't realize was a thing until I was looking them up, and I saw that Sean the Metal Pigeon had commented on something. But apparently, they're very well known for meta metal songs, which are heavy metal songs about heavy metal.
Okay, so like, Dream Evil does that a lot.
Manowar, you know, heavy metal songs about heavy metal. And apparently Gravedigger is notorious for such. But anyway, their set was enjoyable enough. but certainly not my new favorite. But then on to business, Blind Guardian played, and it was just a solid reminder that Blind Guardian is one of the most important metal bands, period. The end.
I agree on that. They put on a fucking show. Their drummer is phenomenal, dude.
I don't know what it is. So part of it, I haven't seen Blind Guardian since 2002 was the last time I was able to catch a show of theirs.
Yeah, I hadn't seen them since, 2015 on the same show was Gravedigger.
But what struck me back when I saw them in 2002, when I saw them back then, it was like me and one other person that I knew of who even knew who Blind Guardian was. And
right. George
does. We've made him listen to them.
Yeah, I do. I didn't like it.
Oh, that's right. But you would have had a good time at the show.
Would I?
Actually, I think you would have.
I think he would have. Yes, you know what? I think that he would have found the experience enjoyable, even if he doesn't care for Hanzi's vocals or whatever. Like, and that's what I was getting to, actually, is when I saw them in 2002, I didn't know anybody who knew who these guys were, except for me and my friend that I went with, basically. You know, it was like a very small contingent of people that I knew who Blind Guardian was. And then I go to this show, and it was in a place in Dallas that was roughly the size of Warehouse Live. And all these people come in, and then suddenly everybody in the entire venue is singing every chorus to every song. And normally that shit's obnoxious, but at a Blind Guardian show, that is appropriate behavior. And it fits the music. They write music that is so sing-alongable and easy enough for a crowd to follow that it makes the performance a really engaging experience. And it was, of course, that way again on Monday. And I remember being astounded by that when I saw them the first time, that, wow, all these people actually know who they are. And when I saw them again on Monday, that was all still there. Everybody was so enthusiastic singing along. There were whole choruses in multiple songs that Hanzi doesn't even sing a word because he doesn't have to. He just stops.
He did the Bard song.
I think he sang like three lines of that entire song and the audience sang the rest.
Yeah. He had a big smile on his face. And like the whole I said, time,
that would normally be obnoxious behavior, but it is so appropriate for a Blind Guardian show and it makes it a lot of fun.
And they played an album in its entirety, too. They played Imagination from the Other Side.
Fantastic. One of their best, and that's saying something, one of their best albums. And it's just so many good songs on there. What a great show. Those guys are such professionals and such good songwriters. And what a great time.
And 2 days later, I was back at the club.
Shaking
my ass for Devin Townsend Project. So I bought VIP tickets. I've never bought a VIP ticket for any kind of show ever in my life. But
This one sounded like a steal, really. Stuff that you told me that you were getting out of it, it seemed like a really good deal.
Yeah, so the VIP ticket itself is $100, right? But what this included... So it included your admission ticket into the show, which is $25 already. It included a poster that was actually you were able to get signed by both bands, so Devin Townsend Project and Between the Buried and Me, as they call them, BT Bam. And then you also got a limited edition, T-shirt. You got a VIP badge. You got a 27x40. Grommeted nice. Wall grommeted. Flag, which I have no idea where I'm going to hang this up
ceiling.
Yet. Ceiling. It's the only place I have room left, man. Truthfully, it wouldn't even fit in this ceiling. It's huge. I'm telling you, it's huge. Not to quote Donald Trump. It's huge. It's just huge. I don't have no idea where I'm going to put it. But then you got to do a little. You did a meet and greet. They're all super cool, and you're able to bring one item to get an autograph. So I brought. I went to Guitar Center the day before, and I bought a blank drum head. I had both bands sign that. And then that's what that is right there in your hand. And then they're like, "Oh, there's no time for pictures," because they wanted to get everybody through, but there really wasn't a lot of people. And the two people that I really wanted a picture with was the drummer Ryan Van Poderhuden. I can't ever say his last name. And Devin Townsend. They're both hanging out. Got a picture with both the dudes, and I was super happy. Oh, and they did a Q&A too for about 20, 30 minutes.
What'd you ask them?
I didn't ask them anything. I was like,
"You're not a fan."
I was too. Well, I've interviewed him before. I'm like, so all those questions were already.
You could just ask him one of those.
So,
maybe. I remember somebody asked him, "How does it feel knowing that you're their favorite band?" And it was sort of directed to Devin Townsend Project. But one of the guys in Between Them buried me. He's like, "Well, I wouldn't know it today, because everybody was there for Devin Townsend, basically, and they knew it." I felt bad.
I don't, because I don't really like the band.
Like who?
Buried in Me.
They're okay. I mean, they're a better recorded band.
I was going to ask you about that.
That's definitely for sure.
Because I've never seen them.
Yeah, I've seen them before. Actually, I saw them when Devin Townsend opened up for them a couple years ago. But
oh, how the tables
have turned. That's right. They are a much better band recorded. They're a much better studio band. Live, the vocalist wasn't really able to hit a lot of the notes mm-hmm. that he needed to hit. But Fallujah opened up the band, the show, and they were really
not
good.
Familiar with them. Except really,
they're metalcore, deathcore, but they have a lot of trippy psychedelic mm-hmm. parts to their music. But here's my thing about them: it's like they're either metalcore at points, or they're trippy psychedelic.
That's
kind of
how
like
I feel about Between Them Buried and Me. That they're either doing deathcore,
yeah,
or they're doing really interesting prog stuff. And when they're doing really interesting prog stuff, I'm totally into it.
Right.
And then they do a breakdown, and I'm like, never mind.
yep. Sort of how Fallujah is too. I mean, they're not a bad band at all. I mean, and they sounded good live too. They sounded much better than Between Them Buried and Me live. So. A lot of very keyboard.
So, were you
heavy,
totally starstruck with Devin Townsend? Yeah,
I was. I've never physically met the guy before, so that was like a really great moment for me. My friend Mark asked me, like, "So, what did you talk to Devin about?" I don't know. It just happened. It happened so quickly. I don't remember anything about it. Truthfully, yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know. It was fun though. It was a great moment.
Moment there and moment gone.
Yeah, I remember the drummer made a comment. The drummer from Between the Buried and Me made a comment about my drum head because it's an Evans drum head because it was the cheapest one I could buy at Guitar Center. He's like, "Oh, Evans! Oh, this is a crap drum head." And I was like, "Well, you can at least sign it. It's good enough to sign, right?" He's like, "Yeah, but not good enough to play." He was being sarcastic, but it came off like very dickish. I was like, "All right, dude." And then Ryan
ruined the image forever.
Well, I didn't really have an image of him anyway. So, but Ryan, the drummer from Between the Buried and Me, I mean, from Devin Townsend Project, saw it. He's like, "Oh, I love Evans." I'm like, "All right, you're worthy enough to sign it then." It's cool though. And then I bought a little black like mini drum head from the merch booth that was actually all the drum heads that were sold, all hand drawn by Devin Townsend. It's really awesome. That was my big, besides the VIP package, that was my merch that I bought at the show. And I talked to the videographer guy, Zim, for a while, who, if you go to their YouTube page, they do a documentary style from every show, every day of the tour. It's really cool. That's my experience at Devin Townsend, and I'm happy with it. Definitely worth $100.
Very good.
And on that... next subject.
Sponsor time?
Oh, it's been going that long?
Yeah, we have been going that long. So let's talk about our sponsors really quick, and then we're going to move on to some topics. So tweakedaudio.com Go there, use the code MetalGeeks, and you're going to save 33% off your entire order. Tweaked Audio are the purveyors of high-quality headphones that come with a lifetime guarantee. Yes, they come with a lifetime guarantee. Order today and let them know you are part of the Metal Geeks Society. 33% off Metal Geeks. Free shipping, lifetime warranty. What else do you want?
Headphones.
Headphones for your ears. And also, we also have another sponsor of the show, GhostTownCollectibles.com. For all your Funko Pop needs, put in the code MetalGeeks, and you're going to save 15% off your entire order. And they deal in rare and hard to find Funko Pop and other various collectibles like that.
Like Bambi the deer.
Like Bambi the deer. Do you know what happened to her mom?
Bambi's a boy, by the way.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Bambi's a boy?
Because at the end of the movie, Bambi grows up into a buck with horns.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
For one.
Unless he's a transgender deer.
All right, that I can't deny that one. All right, so let's go through some topics. Let's talk about George real quick. They have something special going on.
I do?
You do?
Oh.
Well, it started October 1st?
Yeah, we have our Kickstarter going on.
Tell me about that.
So Speak No Evil is Kickstarter for issue 2 is finally out and about. And you can go to Kickstarter, type in Speak No Evil. We're at 30% right now, and we need more pledges to make our whole thing there. So if you're listening to this and you like comics, check it out.
If you are a supporter of the show and you actually supported them on their first issue, I almost called it episode, and you've read it, this is a continuation. I'm looking forward to reading it.
So
I know some of it. But
and plus you're a character, and that's why you want to read
that's
it.
Right. I am a character, so I haven't
expressed this to George or to Justin for that matter, but I do have one main complaint about the first issue, and I'm going to do it right now on the show. And my problem is that it ended right as it was really getting interesting. What's up with that? What's up?
It's 22 pages.
It starts strong and then gradually gets more interesting, and it ends at the most interesting point. What's up with that? What are you doing?
to hook you to come back for more.
It worked.
And I think they did that.
Hopefully. Thank you. So Kickstarter. Speak No Evil. And get on it. Pledge. I don't really know what else to say.
Pledge your allegiance.
Yeah, even if it's a dollar,
that's right.
It doesn't really matter. Pledges are pledges. We just need them.
The more people that pledge, if you're listening to the show and you're a fan of the show, and you're a fan of George in particular,
woo!
So both of you guys,
part of the show,
both of you guys out there, we're talking about you, Jason Ration.
Oh yeah, the two people who listen.
You know, support them, man, because you know they're doing what they love, and it's a super cool thing, and. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing how far they can really go because it's hard for people to put all their laurels in a basket. You know what I mean? Not resting on your laurels. You're putting your laurels in a basket.
I'm putting my laurels in
your
a basket.
Your laurels and your hardies are in a different basket.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's hard for people to go out there and say, hey, this is what we want to do. This is how we're going to make it happen. And some people, they fail. But, you know, they're... You guys are not failing, which is great.
So far, not so bad.
Not so bad.
We were in Austin over the weekend. We were at Dragon's Lair in Austin, Texas, and we did a book signing.
How was that?
It was really good. We had a great turnout. We sold about maybe 40 books, and everyone seemed pretty happy to purchase it.
So you're already on your second printing of the first issue, right?
Yes, we are.
That's awesome right there. Second issue variant cover or anything?
No, all the variant covers are out.
I know.
And like we're Marvel almost sold out, to be actually.
That's good.
We only got one left.
One issue.
One issue of the variants, yeah.
Oh, the variants. Wow. That's awesome, man.
And we have another signing coming up this weekend. We'll be at 8th Dimension Comics.
8th Dimension Comics, a great place run by a guy named Jeremy Bullock. Not the guy that plays Boba Fett. Just to let you know.
Thanks for clearing that up for us.
Because no, Jeremy Bullock is the guy that actually plays Boba Fett.
Did you ask him that when you went there?
I did ask him that. I've known him for a while. He used to work for Bedrock a long time ago. And he's ventured off on his own and he's doing really well.
Yeah, we're going to have a signing at Pop Culture at some time too.
Very cool.
I believe on the 29th.
When's the Eighth Dimension? When is it and where
this
is it?
This Saturday at noon.
At noon?
Yeah, we'll probably be there till like 6.
Very cool. Awesome. Let's move on to some topics.
Topics.
What you got?
I sent you a whole list.
Let's look at this list because we are prepared. Oh, we wanted to talk about Luke Cage.
I haven't watched
it. I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-mm. Dave, have you seen it? I'm 2 episodes in. I do want to try to finish it before our trip to Disney next week. But
next week.
Holy fuck. I just thought about that. I'm like, that's next weekend. Holy crap.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
Yeah, me either. I got so much work to do and we're not going there. I've heard from a couple people that's really good. I know a couple people on Facebook that said it gets really, really slow, but I'm looking forward to it.
I've heard nothing but good things.
Me too. A friend of mine at work, Barry, said that he's like episode 5 and he's like, it gets really good. So,
is this the Barry I know?
It is the Barry you know. Not Barry Allen.
Not the Flash. Barry Allen.
The Flash. Not the Flash. But let's watch more of the show and we'll actually, you know, dive in depth into it a little bit more.
Sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas indeed. I love how one of the characters actually calls him Power Man as a joke at one point.
Nice.
That's great. That's great.
Is that in like the first episode?
The first or second, I can't remember. Yeah. So that leads us to, there's an official release date for Iron Fist already.
There is. It came out today.
Yeah, quickly. Right after, like, have you watched Luke Cage already? Guess what?
Well, after Luke Cage crashed Netflix.
Did it really crash Netflix?
For 2 hours.
Wow. People were probably
too many
pissed.
People were trying to watch it.
They need to up their streaming game then or something.
I don't know what happened.
Sure.
You still have Netflix, right, Dave? Have you watched any of the... That's right, you watched Stranger Things. Have you watched any of the Marvel series on there?
Both seasons of Daredevil. I haven't watched Jessica Jones or Luke Cage yet.
Okay.
You should check out Jessica Jones before you watch Luke Cage.
I would definitely watch Jessica Jones before Luke Cage because he does play a, not a huge part, but a meaty part in the movie.
It pays off later in Luke Cage.
Does it?
From what I understand, yeah.
Good. That's cool. Let's talk about Iron Fist.
Iron Fist.
So I've heard rumors that Iron Fist makes an appearance in Luke Cage.
Oh, nice.
I cannot confirm or deny that because I have not seen that part.
It would make sense.
They need to. And they're getting that close to the Defenders.
After Punisher,
is that?
Or the next Daredevil.
So is Punisher the production too already, right?
It just went into production.
Because I saw a picture of John Bernthal, whatever.
Yes, right.
With like a full beard.
Oh, he has a beard.
Yeah. I know your co-writer, Justin, does not like him.
I think I remember him saying that.
Really? Yeah. That he was very skeptical at first and that he still has problems with him, I think, a little bit, but that he did a very good job, which I agree with. I thought that his... I really liked his performance. I thought that... So my take on...
Yeah.
Like, I've only watched the Daredevil series on Netflix, but my take on that show is that Daredevil is by far the least interesting character in the show. I really liked the Punisher in it, though.
No,
I thought he was compelling, and I felt like Jon Bernthal did a good job.
So maybe that's not Justin hating Jon Bernthal. Maybe that was Jon Bernthal being such a great actor, you hated him as an actual actor because his Shane was fucking annoying in Walking Dead. That's maybe we got to get him on the show and like really talk about that because maybe he hates him as an actor because he was such a good actor and is that character. You never know.
Have you ever felt that way
maybe
before?
That's why he hates Melissa McCarthy too.
Like I hate this actor right now, but I know it's just because I watched them in this one thing and they were playing such a horrendous evil character that I hate the actor as a result.
The kid from Game of Thrones.
Poor kid.
He's gonna be typecast his whole life now.
He's gonna be a villain in every movie.
No matter how nice the dude probably is in real life. Nope. Everybody just wants to poison his ass.
Have you had that one experience, Dave? Specifically that comes to mind, and it may sound a little odd, yeah. But Tim Roth, after watching Rob Roy, his character is really? So unapologetically shitty, but he's Honey so Bunny, good really? At it. Like, because Tim Roth is a good actor,
yeah.
And he pulls off this character very well, and he's so unlikable as a villain. And
he's really good in Hateful Eight.
I was about to say
and,
the exact
and
same
because
thing.
Of that,
Hateful
I couldn't
Eight.
Watch him in other stuff for a while because I was having like a visceral reaction to his face, I guess. And I was like, this is because of, yeah.
Fuck this dude.
I just hate your face.
I hate your face, bro.
But,
such a good
so,
actor.
I mean,
I hate your face.
I of course mean this as a compliment to Tim Roth. He's quite good. So
interesting point. That's a topic for a whole episode.
I think Melissa Carthy still is a horrible actress.
What? Okay, so let's touch upon that real quick. What? I know it's got to be a certain role that she played that made you really start hating her. What was it?
Every movie she's been in?
Not every movie.
Almost every movie.
Okay, almost. Almost. I hated her in that, what's that TV show? Mike and Molly.
Okay.
I like the dude that played in the Mike character because I remember him from a different show.
Sexist.
It might be. But she was just annoying in that show.
You just don't like fat white women.
That is not true. Just not. Well, she's okay. I mean, she plays over the top way too much, I think, is what the main problem is.
She's not funny is my problem.
Okay, that could be. She's funny in Ghostbusters. I will give her that.
No, she's not.
We're moving on.
Let's.
So what's this about the Batman movie?
The Batman movie has an official title.
What's it called?
The Batman.
The Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it? I can deal with that a little bit. Now, isn't that weird that with it? What's the guy's name from True Blood?
John Maggiello.
Oh yeah, Maggiello. What's his first name? Hey, voice from the other room. What's the guy from True Blood? Joe.
Oh, Joe.
Joe
not John.
Joe Manganiello.
I know it had a J in it.
Manganiello.
Maginello.
Mangonello.
Whatever his name is.
He's playing Deadshot.
I was just about to say he was in the Pee-wee movie.
He was in the Pee-wee movie. He was fucking great in the Pee-wee movie.
Was he though?
Yeah.
No.
He was. So this, which is weird, because like, okay, the same universe, right? And Bet the Batfleck was in Suicide Squad, but Will Smith was Deadshot. How come Will Smith isn't Deadshot in the Batman movie?
Because
why is it a different guy playing the character?
DC and Warner Brothers,
what?
They're just determined to fuck up as much of this as they can.
Wait a minute. You think Joe is playing Deadshot?
He's Deadshot.
No, it's Deathstroke.
Oh.
That makes a little more sense.
I thought he was Deadshot.
You're joking, right?
No. Okay, that makes more sense now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said it was Deadshot.
No, man.
Okay. All right. It makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
So he's playing Slade Wilson, not Wade Wilson.
Yep.
You got to admit, Deadpool is a... Because Deathstroke came out before Deadpool.
Well, yeah, years.
And Deadpool is a straight-up copy of Deathstroke.
I don't think that's a secret.
Yeah, I don't think that's a secret.
No, I didn't say it was a secret. You got to admit it. It's just... Nobody ever talks about that, though. It's like...
Hopefully in Deadpool 2, they make fun of Deathstroke in this movie.
I was going to say...
What were you going to say, Dave?
You actually... Oh, shit. What's... I'm going blank on his name. No.
Ryan Reynolds.
No.
Joe Manganiello.
Deadpool.
Joe Manganiello.
I know... Liefeld. Thank you.
Rob like Liefeld.
I've only been in 100 places where he was at, and I'm going blank on his name.
Right.
I'm pretty sure if you walked up to him and went, "Hey, is Deadpool a ripoff of Deathstroke?" he'd be like, "Yes, he is. Thank you for asking." He's been...
Actually, I think he will fight you really hard.
He's been pretty open about it.
I mean, I mean, come on. Slade Wilson, Wade Wilson. Come on.
Both have swords.
Both have swords and your mercs for money. All right.
Sure.
Dead.
He's cool. I'm pretty stroke sure he's very open about
you
it.
You do, and you do a stroke in a pool.
God, that was
Jesus Christ.
There you,
is that the reach?
That's the reach right there.
But now I'm wondering if that factored into the conversation, because it just makes enough sense.
Right.
Oh, wow. So anyway, Deathstroke is supposed to be bad guy in Justice League and the Batman movie.
Okay. Okay, now that makes more sense. I thought it was Deadshot for some reason.
Wow. I thought you were a comic book fan.
I'm not the big DC nerd as everybody else is.
You're a comic book fan.
I'm a comic book nerd, yeah, but or a geek, as the show title is. But I don't know. There's something about the DC movies I can't get into. The animated movies, different story.
Comic book gods are looking down on you.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm a Marvel guy.
Okay.
Excelsior.
Excelsior.
What's this about Voltron?
So Voltron did awesome on Netflix.
I didn't watch it.
You didn't?
No.
It's good. I liked it.
Well, it was like the Zords, right?
The animal robots coming together to make a giant fighter.
What? Power Rangers based themselves off of and stole from too.
Exactly. A lot of rip-offs on Netflix, and they got approved for season 2. Right?
How many episodes was like the season?
10?
Okay.
Or 12?
And did you watch it?
Yeah.
Is it worth watching?
If you liked Avatar or Legend of Korra, did you like that?
The movie?
No, the cartoon.
I never watched it.
Well, it's that same kind of animation style. The guys who did that show did the Voltron show.
Oh, okay.
And it's really cool. It's a good story. It's good animation. And the trailer for season 2 came out.
That's quick. Didn't Star Wars Rebels start this week, too?
Last week.
Last week? I need to catch up on that. I have not finished season 2. I
barely started season 2.
I know.
I'm recapping on season 2.
Grand Admiral Thrawn is going to be in this season.
I think he's ready. He's in episode 1.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I need to watch that then. I'm going to skip over episode or the rest of season 2 just to watch it. Because those are my favorite books growing up in the 90s was the whole Thrawn series, the Timothy Zahn books.
Oh, yeah?
Love them. I'll let you borrow one of the books if you want to read it.
Sure.
They're really good.
I think they made them into a comic books, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. What else we got here? Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, the ride.
No, you had on here... Well, we'll talk about the ride. They released a sneak preview of the ride today. Disney Parks blog did. So, the Tower of Terror in California is being transformed into a Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Called the Breakout.
The Breakout. Guardians of the Galaxy, the Breakout. So, you're basically trying to break out the Guardians from the Collector's, you know...
Evil Clutches.
Studio, or whatever you call it. His museum.
His collection.
So,
Do you think it does?
It looks cool. I mean, I don't think it does. I don't know. I don't...
The concept art looks
cool. So, the did look kind of cool. But the model art that they released does not look cool.
Hmm. We watched it earlier. They were talking about, hey, it looks like we took a lot of this from like
industrial pipes
and stuff. We're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it sure does look like that.
But what is the attraction going to be like? Are they just going to keep the same, ride system and then just you go up and you save them and you fall down?
I guess something like that.
Are they going to? The Tower and Terror in Florida is always much better, anyways.
May it remain untouched. You'll get
to experience that next weekend.
I would have to write it with someone else. Catherine won't write it.
I'll write it with you because Kim does not ride that ride either. So they can just sit there and wait for us at the bottom while we go ride the ride like 5 times. If there's no line, I'm riding that ride multiple times.
So
multiple times?
Multiple times. Dude, when I went there, the last time I went there was my uncle. He was pushing him around in a wheelchair, and there's one point where he took off. We're at the Hollywood Studios. I didn't know where he was at, and I came. I finally caught up with him. He's like,
he wasn't out of
his
wheelchair.
He rode the ride like three times in a row. I'm like, dude, should he be riding that ride? You're like, not in the best physical condition. He's like, oh, I love that ride.
I have a funny story about that one.
So what, he just lock his wheels in place?
Oh, I have a funny story about that ride and talking, you know, some people won't ride it and all that kind of stuff. The first time I took my kids to Disney World, my older daughter, she was 5 at the time, and we were on like our 4th ride through of Tower of Terror for the day. And because she loved it, we got there and found out that she was a thrill ride junkie. She was totally into it. If it went fast, she wanted to do it. And so we were on this one for like the 4th time during the day. And we're waiting, you know, where they split the line before you go into like the little library study room. Right. So we were standing in front of those doors.
Right.
And it was just us right at first. And a couple walks up and is standing kind of next to us. And they look like they're arguing about something. And they're kind of going back and forth, but they're being quiet about it. And finally, the woman elbows this dude who is a, you know, pretty burly looking, you know, tough guy kind of guy. And she elbows him and points at my daughter, who is 5 years old. And he turns around and looks at her. And he looks up at me and he goes, "Does she go on this ride?" I go, "This is her 4th time today." He was freaked out about it. Because he didn't want to ride it.
Because he didn't want to ride it.
And my 5-year-old totally embarrassed this big old manly man, tough guy dude. And he nice. Bailed. He did not go on
it. He bailed? He didn't go on it? Aw. What a wimp. I've been watching George for the past hour play with like a push pin, and he's just been sticking it into my desk and like various pieces like of toys and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's bored or he's like horny or something.
I'm listening.
You're waiting for what?
To talk.
Okay. Now he's pushing a push pin into a character, like a little ghost thing's eyes.
It's in his head.
In his head. Okay. I'm sorry.
I gave him a nose that he didn't have.
So what's this? Guardians is the deadliest film of all time with 83,000 deaths.
Yeah, it was released today from the Guardian.
How are they figuring that?
That's it. Tell me more.
That's all I know. I read the article a little bit. It has the most on-screen deaths.
What part?
Okay, it says the film sees killing.
So I was thinking about this.
80,000 NovaCore pilots. In one of its closing scenes, which takes its estimated on-screen body count to 83,871. I don't think that counts. That's not really on-screen death.
What about, I was just watching The Force Awakens the other day at my in-laws' house, and what about all the deaths on, they killed like 5 planets at one time?
Well, only 1,000 people lived on that planet.
I don't know about that.
What about...
It's just an article. I thought it was interesting.
What about Friday the 13th?
On any given Death Star or Starkiller Station?
That's right. How many stormtroopers gave up their lives?
George Lucas wins the body count on these. If that's how we're counting these, pretty much. I think he wins.
According to the article.
Did you write that article? Were you secretly writing that article?
No, it's from The Guardian. Okay. James Gunn posted it on his Facebook.
Oh, did he? He's proud of it, then.
Of course he is. He comes from the world of Troma.
It's true, he does come from Troma. Didn't he, like, was he, like, producer of, like, The Last Citizen Toxi or whatever? He did Terror Firmer, didn't he?
I don't know.
It's a bad movie. So bad it's good.
It's a Troma movie.
It is. Troma movies are so bad they're good. Speaking of, we watched Ash vs. The Evil Dead Season 2
Yep.
premiere this week. Did you watch it?
Best thing ever.
I haven't finished season one yet. I just kind of fell off on it and haven't picked it back up. I need to finish that up.
It's great.
It is really good.
Season 2 is awesome. I don't want to spoil anything because it just came out.
They get pulled right back into it, I'll tell you that much. A lot of blood.
I love the Jacksonville part.
I swear I've seen that before. They released that like as a clip before or something like that?
Probably.
I remember watching that scene.
That's probably
before.
In the trailer.
Maybe. So maybe it's what it was. It's a great show, though.
Yeah. They're also that on the DVR, I'm pretty
finish
sure.
That. Cool. What's this about Gene Simmons having his own comic book?
There's a book, what is it called? Kiss the Death of something?
The Demon?
Demon, there you go.
Do you remember back in the day, the very first Kiss comic book, they actually put their own blood in the ink?
Supposedly? Yeah.
Are they going to do that again on this one?
I don't know. I don't think that's sanitary.
It wouldn't be a Kiss comic if they didn't do it.
I've never been a huge Kiss fan, or I mean, they're okay.
It's a comic book. It's metal. It works for this.
No, it does. It works in the context of the show. But I've only seen them live once, and that was like about 5 years ago at the rodeo. I was like, oh, Kiss is playing the rodeo. Maybe I'll go see him.
Oh, what else is the next? The only thing I've seen for
I got one thing to say. Dead Men Tell No Tales.
I never ridden that ride, so I can't.
You are.
I can't.
Next weekend, you get to ride that ride. That's gonna be cool. First time experience.
I think you're more excited to see my reaction.
I probably am.
I think I'm gonna totally let you down.
Oh, don't let me down on that, dude. You let me down on everything else in life. Don't let me down on that one. You can be like, yeah, the movie's better.
Probably will.
So what did you think of the trailer for the next Pirates movie?
One, I was surprised. I thought this movie was dead in the water. No pun intended.
I think there was a pun intended.
I don't know. It looks okay.
I will tell I you.
Ghost Pirates.
I will see it.
We had Zombie Pirates.
Oh, I'll see it for sure.
I'll see it too. It's the only thing Johnny Depp has going on.
He needs some money to pay off his divorce.
Pay that alimony.
The alimony.
Yeah, so we had Zombie Pirates.
It was Javier Bardem.
No, I'm talking about all the pirates we had so far.
Yeah.
We had Zombie Skeleton Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Davy Jones' weird Creatures of the Depth.
Yep. Barnacle Crew.
And then we had
Mermaids.
Pirates Trying to Get Young.
Yep.
And now we have Ghost Pirates.
Mermaiders.
There you go.
And what's the last thing you said?
Ghost Pirates.
Ghost Pirates, yeah.
That's what he is, right?
Pretty much, I think. I guess.
I just wonder how this connects to Jack Sparrow at all.
Yeah, they didn't show Johnny Depp in it at all. Who was that young, the new young dude, the new young Orlando Bloom? Was that their kid?
I'm guessing so.
Maybe.
No thoughts?
I'll see it.
Orlando Bloom's supposed to be in
it. That's a point against.
Is he?
Yeah.
Strike one.
That was...
Come on, he was in The Hobbit.
one of the truly redeeming qualities the fourth Pirates movie was that there was no Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley in it.
That's true.
Yeah, but it was a really bad movie.
He said a redeeming point. I didn't hate it.
I didn't like it.
What didn't you like about it?
I didn't like the plot. I didn't like the pacing of the movie. And it just felt really forced.
As most forced movies in a series are.
Yeah.
So this is number 5 coming out, right?
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to pretend the fourth one never happened.
No, I don't think so.
No?
It's been a while since the last Pirates. How long ago was that?
It has been a little while.
At least 5 more.
I was still living
more
in
than
Dallas.
5 years for sure.
So that's been 5 or 6 years since that came out, at least.
So what is this Indiana Jones animated series all about?
Oh, dude.
Y'all haven't seen it?
I really need to have watched it by this point.
I haven't seen it yet.
It is the so best thing I found, made on the internet.
I found myself grinning like an idiot halfway through. Like, I didn't realize, like, it pulled me in, and then I had a moment of awareness, and I was like, I'm smiling like an idiot right now because this is really fun. It's really short.
How long is it?
It's like if Indiana Jones was an animated series,
the opening of a show.
This would be the intro for it.
Oh.
So, y'all, if I remember, I've been saying this for a long time. Indiana Jones
and
should
if you're
be
not
an
convinced
animated
of that,
show.
You will be after you watch this.
It should have always been an animated series.
Totally. And Disney needs to get on it.
Indiana Jones Rebels.
No, they just need to do the adventures of Indiana Jones, or the further adventure.
Like the comic book series they did.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'd be down for that. I'm going to have to watch this as soon as we're done.
Watch it 4, 5, 20 times.
All right. I think I will.
And they created the music themselves based on the original score.
So is it going to continue on to further, or what's going to happen?
Well, it's a fan thing.
I know, but...
I don't think so.
Are they going to get that cease and desist letter pretty soon?
Probably.
Disney going to go, wait a minute.
Yeah, Disney will be like,
how
hey,
many
this
views
is a
did
good
you
idea.
Get? Oh, okay. If you can get that many views, imagine how many we could get.
Right. And then it could claim it was their idea.
Right. I mean, they have that character. They haven't really done anything with him, though.
Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
They're making a fifth movie.
Yeah.
No?
There's another fourth movie that didn't happen.
Do what?
That was another fourth movie that didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
Right? Did you like Crystal Skull? Are you on the... You like it, don't you?
I don't hate
I
it
don't
either.
I don't hate it, but I don't love it either.
I don't despise it. I don't love it.
I think I'm a biased opinion, because Indiana Jones could be do anything, and I'd probably enjoy it.
There's two... Okay, there's
yeah,
one major bad thing about that movie.
Shia LaBeouf.
You know what?
LaBeouf.
He would have been
LaBeouf.
Tolerable, I honestly think. It was the monkey scene.
If that monkey scene
was not in it, I don't think that there would be as much complaint about him in it. I honestly believe that.
And people complain about the aliens part of it.
I think it makes total sense.
I don't either.
I don't complain about... I just don't like the villain.
Because people are like, oh, I'm like, dude... There was supernatural shit in the very first fucking movie. What are you talking about?
But
it was religious,
right? But
here's
why that all works is because the original set of Indiana Jones movies dealt with Raiders and Last Crusade dealt with Nazis who were involved in supernatural religious
supernatural
occult artifacts, those kinds of things. So now it's years later, and it's the 1950s. It's the space age now, and the new enemy is the communists, is the Russians, and it's space race, space age stuff.
Yeah.
The aliens thing totally makes sense to me because that is the new supernatural occurrence for that age. I don't have a problem with aliens at all.
Alien should have been ET.
ET made it making it. Like a cameo?
Yep. The alien the whole entire time should have been E.T., right?
No.
And he shouldn't have been, like, violent.
He never got to go home.
Yeah. He's been there for all these years.
He goes, E.T. phone home? No.
We don't have phones.
What the fuck is a phone?
Gary's just shaking his head.
I'm just shaking my head. Oh, my God. All right, so the time you've been waiting for is finally upon us. George hates metal.
Yes, he does.
Not really.
I think so. So let's talk about your assignment for the week. We gave you the brand new Opus album, Sorceress, and we've listened to it right before we recorded.
Casually
some listened
of
to it.
You casually
what is your opinion?
Some of it.
Right.
There you go.
He forcefully got listened to the first track, which is Sorceress.
Right.
The first single.
Which was just all instrumental?
No.
Oh, the song after that. It was okay.
Okay, I'll admit, because that's one
too.
Of the weakest tracks on the album.
It was kind of boring.
I wouldn't call it boring. It's just not the best song.
And the song doesn't really go anywhere. And it's just kind of the same beat for 4 or 5 minutes.
You just described Opus.
That's not wasn't very entertaining. The case. No.
The last 2 minutes of Deliverance are...
Okay, the best so 2 minutes of your I'm going to blow your mind on this. The last 2 minutes of Deliverance is not the last 2 minutes of Deliverance. You're talking about like the last like 4 minutes of Deliverance. That ending section is quite long. It's longer than most of your pop songs. And it is all the same thing for 4 minutes. And it is excellent. It is perfect.
No, it's amazing.
But it's much longer than
they're going to play that live.
That's one of the things that amazes me about that song perpetually is the song is 13 or 14 minutes long and it does not feel like it at all.
That is very true. There's no really, really super long songs on the song. I think
they've kind of moved away from a lot of that. You know, back in the old days of Opeth, when a full-length album was 5 tracks and the CD was full.
The first time I ever saw Opeth was like one of the Milwaukee Metal Fest, I believe. And they were like, nobody knew who they really were. They played a 25-minute set.
Played one.
So they basically played like two songs. They were done. It was around, I don't remember what album it was. Maybe it was around Orchid or something. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, these guys are going to be big one day.
One day. Too bad they're not.
I have a picture of Mikhail Akerfeldt holding up a copy of Mainstream Resistance from back in the day. That was cool.
Should hang that up somewhere.
I should. I don't have any more room to hang shit up. I got to find room for that 27x40 Devin Townsend flag. I don't know where the fuck I'm going to put that.
Plus your birthday gift I'm giving you.
Oh, shit. I need to clear shit off the wall then. So let's go back to Opeth real quick. Your opinion of what you did here.
It was okay. Like I told you, it's pretty middle ground boring.
I see Dave's face right now. He's pissed.
I can't see anything.
He's so pissed off, it's like black.
Almost left. Yeah.
He walked away on that shit. He's like, fuck this guy. Doesn't like Opus. Doesn't like Blind Guardian. Basically, I can't deal with this guy anymore.
Yeah. Now that you mention it.
So I think next time what we need to do is...
have a metalvention.
Well, we'll have George gets to pick something for us to pick apart and listen to.
Sure.
I think it's only fair, right?
Oh, God.
It's Limp Bizkit.
No, it's not Limp Bizkit.
I immediately regret my decisions.
Fuck you on Limp Bizkit. Right? I've actually, unfortunately, been... I've never... Okay, I'm not going to say that I saw them live, but I've been in the vicinity when they were playing live.
I've seen them twice.
Twice? Yeah. You actually sat there and watched them?
Well, the first time was at a festival.
Yep.
And the second time they were a headliner.
Family Values or some shit?
The first time I saw them was at Family Values, 1998. I'm old.
No, you're not. Well, I don't know where we can go from George Hate's Opus.
It's not that I hate it. Whatever you played was not very interesting.
I'll have to play you Deliverance. Maybe you'll have a change of heart.
Is it No Deliverance? Like the Toadies song?
No. Probably not like the Toadies at all. I think that's where we should wrap it up. Don't you agree? I have nowhere to go from George Hate's Opus.
And on that note, good night.
Good night, everybody. All right, so let's do our house cleaning and we'll call it an episode.
Dave?
Dave?
Nope, he's gone.
He's not here. Dave's not here, man. In fact, finally say that for real. So I guess we can talk about the Metal Geek social media. You can find us on all the platforms, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagrams, all those good places. You can find us at Metal Geeks. Find us on our website at metalgeeks.net. where you could go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave a review, give us a 5-star rating. That helps actually more people find the show and discover the Metal Geeks podcast.
Share it with your friends.
Share it with your buddies. And you can find us on all of our good friends and our neighbors, our affiliate listings, if you would call that. So we have Houston Nerdcasting Collective, Altness.com, Nerdbong, and the ESO Podcast. And let's move on to Dave's not here.
I am.
Dave, you back?
Hey.
Dave's here, man. We are wrapping it up, man, to let people know where they can get a hold of you.
Red Viking Dave on Instagram and Twitter. I've been live tweeting our recording, actually. I have been.
Oh, have you?
So it's a new. I've not really live tweeted anything before, so.
You and Trump have been live tweeting tonight.
Great minds.
Let's see who gets more views. one great mind. The other one, not so much.
Talking about Trump, right?
I'm talking about Trump, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'm talking about you, Dave. So let's move on to George. Where can people find your shit?
People need to go see my comic book, Speak No Evil. We're everything at Grey Bear Comics. It's G-R-A-Y. And if you go to Kickstarter, just type in Speak No Evil. You'll find our current campaign going on for issue 2. Pledge, anything you can do will be great. Share it with your friends. Leave us a comment. Anything.
Yeah, there you go. I think that wraps it up, man. I have one last thing I would like to say.
Hakuna Matata.
What a wonderful phrase.
There you go, because we're going to see them next weekend. Hakuna Matata.
Ain't no passing Matata. Phrase.
Well, it ain't no passing phrase.
Nope.
You know what it worries. Means?
For the rest of your days.
It means no worries, yeah.
It's our problem-free philosophy.
We're just going to just lip-sync this whole movie.
I think so. We're being metal now
speaking of which, they're making a Lion King live-action
movie. Oh, yeah, the live-action Lion King done by Jon Favreau, though.
Why?
I don't know. Why did the Jungle Book?
Because the Jungle Book made sense. Lion King doesn't.
Why not? When you first heard they announced they're going to do a live-action Jungle Book, you're like, that doesn't make sense.
No, I thought it made perfect sense. It's an older movie that needed to be updated. And it was made better.
Okay, yeah. What about Lion King?
How can you make something so great better? What are you going to change about it?
Lion King is just about really. As flawless an animated movie as there is. It really... Mm-hmm.
No, it's a flawless movie no matter what it is. It's one of my favorite movies.
Favorite movies.
It's one of my favorite movies ever.
It's part of the Disney's let's make everything live action.
Yeah, they've really been doing that a lot.
Anyway, that was my extra tangent.
All right.
So on that note,
keep it metal.
Keep it metal.
And keep it geeky, bitches.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.